From St. Cloud to St. Paul and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally Langfellow, Eric Nelson back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always cluttered, always topical, and sometimes depressing Minnesota sports scene. It's certainly depressing if you're a hockey fan right now in the state of hockey, because the Minnesota Wild on Thursday night got broomed out of the playoffs in the second round by the Chicago Blackhawks. 4-0. That was the sweep. Blackhawks, Wally, never trailed in
the series.
Not once. Patrick Kane had 6 goals, and Corey Crawford stopped 124 of 131 shots. So news of his demise,
greatly exaggerated.
Thank you. In stereo.
Yeah, no, he was terrific. And, you know, the Wild are obviously disappointed. Wild fans are disappointed. But when it comes down to it, the Chicago Blackhawks are just better. I mean, I don't know how else you slice this thing, but they were quicker into the passing lanes. They, for the most part, took better shots. You know, the Wild did not play poorly on Thursday night. Actually, you can make the argument that they didn't play poorly in 3 of the 4 games, but they lost them. You know, they got down 3-0 in that first game, came back and tied it at 3, kind of ran out of gas, and then Chicago wins at 4-3. They lose the 1-0 game at home. The only game that they played poorly was probably game 2, and, you know, they'll tell you that, you know, they had some bad bounces and so on and so forth, but they're just not as good as Chicago. I don't know what else to say. You get swept by them. You've lost to them 3 straight years in the postseason now. The Blackhawks were Stanley Cup champions, 2 years ago? They could very well win it all again this year. Would not surprise me in the least bit. They have the firepower. I mean, they've got some talent. Patrick Kane's unbelievable. You mentioned 6 goals. I mean, he's just off the charts. And the Wild don't have anybody like that.
No, not anybody in his galaxy. I mean, the Wild have good players. And I think the Wild are close. But they've seen the Stanley Cup template. They've seen the blueprint, because the last 3 years they've been knocked out by this team, the Blackhawks. And,
yes.
And Chicago really right now is playoff kryptonite for the Minnesota Wild. They have to figure a way around this roadblock that has put them on early vacation now for 3 straight seasons. And I agree with you. The Chicago Blackhawks, and they played with such urgency in Game 4. They did not want this thing to be stretched out to a fifth game, because they know now they get more time off than Anaheim or Calgary, because that series is still going on. They're going to face the winner of that one. And the funny thing is, the Blackhawks during the regular season, they were very good, but they weren't dominant. The Nashville series, they struggled at times. Corey Crawford was actually benched, and people thought there was a goalie controversy in the Windy City. But it's almost like this light switch was flicked on for this series, and the Blackhawks woke up once they got through Nashville and said, you know what, we're good, we know it, and now we got to start playing like it. And they might have that cup for the 3rd time in 5 years. Who knows? Anaheim's very good. I mean, Calgary, if they somehow were to face the Flames, I think they'd be favored. But based on what I've seen, why not Chicago?
And you know what the light switch? You know what that light switch is? It's called the Minnesota Wild and the XL Energy Center, because they play well here, and they see those Wild jerseys and they turn it up a notch. And they have played well against the Wild. And, you know, I don't think it's a jinx. I know you had mentioned you talked to Terry Ryan, and or Larry had talked to Terry Ryan, and he mentioned the fact that, hey, that, you know, the Twins had that Yankee thing to get over. And they always couldn't get past the Yankees to get to the next round of the postseason for, you know, basically all of the 2000s. And it just didn't happen. I just think Chicago is just better. I don't think there's a jinx here. Chicago is just a better hockey team, and they proved it. I mean, I don't think there's much argument here. The Wild have some talent, but they're going to have to. You know, and we can start going down this road. What changes are they going to make? Are they bringing all these guys back? Granlund is up. They've got to figure out whether they're going to bring him back. And if they do want to bring him back, how much that they're willing to pay him. In my mind, Thomas Vanek is a disappointment this year. I'll bet he'd want to play in Las Vegas if they have a team there.
Yeah.
Seriously, you know, how much of a distraction was that for him for a fair portion of this season? Not to say that it was down the stretch, but was he behind the eight ball, so to speak, all season long when he finally got through all that mess, all the betting and debts and all that crap? I just think that, they have many of the pieces. They're still missing a few.
Well, I think the one thing we do know, that the Wild owner, Craig Leopold, is deeply committed to to trying to get the Stanley Cup and you know, to be in Minnesota, where we can finally have a championship team in the NHL here. It's never happened, North Stars or Wild. So
he's bent on it, that's for sure.
He definitely is obsessed with it. Now, just because you want it doesn't mean it's going to happen. There's a lot of other good organizations out there, such as Chicago. Look at their head coach, Joel Quenneville. I mean, seasoned veteran. He's a champion. They've got Stanley Bowman in the front office, and they've got his father, Scotty Bowman, who's got 13 cups on his resume as a head coach, as like a consultant. We see him in the press box during these playoffs.
Yeah, wandering around.
So you got Scotty Bowman giving you some hockey tips. You're in pretty good shape. So, but I do think first of all, you have to let the emotion of getting swept die. I mean, take a week or two, decompress, then come back. I'm talking about Mike Yeo, Chuck Fletcher, Craig Leopold, the coaching staff, and then you start to say, okay, what do we need to do? We've seen how good the Blackhawks are. How can we get close to that level? Not going to be easy, but we know Leopold will at least give Fletcher the financial backing to do it. I think a key thing, you brought up Mikhail Granlund, they got to get Devin Dubnyk signed long term.
Yep.
I'm convinced. I've seen enough. He saved the season. If he didn't come here in January, we wouldn't be talking about a playoff run. They never would have got in. So, it's hard for me to say Wild fans should be content because they didn't go any further this season than last year. In fact, you could say they did a little worse because at least they pushed Chicago to 6 games last season.
Yeah, they didn't take any off them this year.
But they're close. You kind of feel like they're close, but nobody's going to give you anything in the NHL.
No, that's for sure. I guess the other question that comes up is Mike Yeo safe? I think he is, personally, but you can make the argument that they just treaded water this year, as you just pointed out.
I actually think, I think Mike Yeo is safe. I don't think they need to make a coaching change because it wasn't Mike Yeo's fault he didn't have a solid goaltender at the beginning of the season. That was on Chuck Fletcher to fill that void. Now, to Chuck's credit, he did with Dubnyk. I think sometimes you just have to be patient and stay the course. I mean, who's out there that you're going to bring in that's any better? I think Mike Yeo's growing. Now, all of a sudden, he's not a young coach anymore. He's got a few years on the docket, so to speak. And by all accounts, players respect him. They think they play hard for him. You even look at game 4 with 2:18 to go in the third. The Wild are down 4-1. I mean, it's over, right? I mean,
people were heading to the exits.
Go ahead and wave the white flag. But you know what? The Wild came back with 2 quick goals, and they actually had 2 shots late in the final 14 seconds to maybe tie it. And I'm only talking about tying and going to overtime.
That would have been a miracle.
It would have been a Minnesota miracle on ice, no question. And yes, you're paid to try. These guys are professionals. They shouldn't give up. But point is, they did play hard to the last second. That's about all you can go on here. But I go back to what you said. The Chicago Blackhawks have set the bar very high. And how about Patrick Kane? I mean, it was only, 2-3 months ago, the night Chicago died, when Patrick Kane and Derrick Rose, the NHL and NBA superstars in the Windy City, both went down with serious injuries same night. And a lot of us thought they would not return this season. Well, Rose is back trying to haunt your Cavaliers, and Kane has come back, and he's haunted the Wild.
Yeah, I know. He really put his foot on their throat, that's for sure.
Oh, goodness.
It's been the Wild, their defensemen, and Dubnyk are going to see Kane in their nightmares for until next season anyway. They just couldn't figure out a way to keep this guy off the board. I mean, the goals that he scores, too. I mean, such hustle and technique. He's just unbelievable. And, tip your hat and wait till next year. I guess that's all that's left. You just tip your cap and wait till next year. All right. We need to take a break. We're going to talk some Minnesota Twins coming up. Reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online. Just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score. And Rocky's got a guest list here for you, and it is substantial.
Yeah, Rocky, as usual, wandering the Twin Cities trying to line up these guests. I believe he's got Brian Dozier, Twin second baseman. Boy, the Twins are scorching hot. And Al Moss, talk a little fishing.
Opening fishing weekend.
We are Minnesota Score Radio, your walleye ticket.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And we're back, Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket. That's right, the Minnesota Twins. I'll tell you what.
Sizzling.
They are. They are scorching hot, and they wrapped up their homestand on Thursday. 11 games at Target Field, longest homestand of the season, 8-3. So they take 3 out of 4 from the A's, sweep the White Sox, lose 2 out of 3 to Detroit, but certainly that third game was winnable. They kind of let it get away from them. But early on, you got to give Paul Molitor credit. He appears to have this team slowly turning the corner. They're north of 500 now. But what's more impressive, Wally, is they started 1-6. It would have been easy for this team to go, uh-oh, here we go again. But they haven't done that.
No, and I think the veteran presence of Torrey Hunter has helped. And they've actually had some halfway decent pitching performances. And, oh, by the way, trivia question for you. Which team in the American League has the best home record?
Minnesota Twins.
12-5.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because if you go back to the first year of Target Field, 2010, they had the best home record in MLB. But since then, you know, they have been literally a speed bump for teams coming into Minneapolis and rolling over them. And if you're going to have any kind of success in any sport, you got to take care of business at home. You better win a lot more of your home games than you lose. And I think that's the first ticket to this team maybe having some success.
Yeah. And going back to what we saw this week against Oakland, Rosario comes in on Wednesday, and in his first at bat, in the very first pitch he sees, he hits a home run, a la Gary Gaetti, I believe. And then there's a few other Twins who have done that in their career.
Well, I was told Jordan Schaefer did it for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, my. So there you have it. So several guys have done it, but it's fun to see Rosario. I actually had a chance to talk to Torrey Hunter a little bit after the game that Rosario hit the home run, and he really likes Rosario. He said he brings an extra pop to the to their lineup. So be interesting to see how this all unfolds for the Minnesota Twins.
So the Twins are done with that 11-game homestand, their longest stretch at Target Field all season.
Is that good or bad? You know, having that homestand this early in the season, obviously, you know, it helped. They got some wins, but for attendance, I think it's bad, don't you think?
I agree, even though they can't blame the weather, but let's face it, homestand started in April, ended in early May. That's still not in your wheelhouse for big crowds, even when they're playing well, because most people want to wait until school's out before they bring the kids to the weeknight games and things like that. I don't think they had any major promotions in that stretch. Giveaways, I think they had some posters.
Well, you missed it. You missed Monday night.
What was
May
Monday
May the 4th
night?
Be with you.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Star Wars night.
Not quite Bat Day, but hey.
What did they? Oh, they gave away Phil Hughes bobbleheads, and he had a lightsaber in his hand. I think that's what it was. I didn't get the giveaway, but I was at the game, and it was funny because Torrey hit that home run on Monday night. He had the 3-run bomb Monday night, which actually was the difference in the game. And I look up at the scoreboard, and there's a shot at Torrey, and his bat was a lightsaber.
Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, you know, you look, they can't control the schedule, so hopefully, attendance-wise, they can make things up as you get past Memorial Day. I've always said up here in the upper Midwest with the Twins, it's Memorial Day to Labor Day. That's really when they butter their bread for crowds. But they've been a little bit lower than I thought they would be, given the fact they're playing better, and it has been a very good spring weather-wise. No rainouts, very few cold games, a lot of mild games, warm weather, temperate spring weather. But it is what it is, and now they're off to Ohio to see your Cleveland Indians.
The Indians this weekend, and then next week I think they're in Detroit, aren't they? I think that's right.
I believe so, and then I think they come back home for Toronto.
Is it Tampa? I think it's Tampa.
You're right, Tampa. I'm encouraged so far by what I've seen. Will it, you know, continue as we get toward June and July and August and the dog days, September? I don't know. They've been around 500 at this point a couple of years, you know, during this run of long 90-loss seasons. They've had some 500 teams in May, but it never continued.
Well, and, you know, being around 500 with Phil Hughes having won only one game, and with Irvin Santana, he's supposedly your number two starter, not in the rotation, I think that they probably could be in a worse position right now.
I agree. And I think one thing about Major League Baseball, you know, we all used to joke about it being the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers and, you know, these major market teams. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think there's parity in MLB. We saw two wild card teams in the World Series last season, the Giants and the Royals. The Giants have 3 titles in 5 years. They don't have a payroll like the LA Dodgers or the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox or Detroit. So I think baseball's a grab bag now, and I think that's good for the game. I think it increases fan interest from coast to coast. And you know, the Twins,
Hey, why not? Why can't they think they can be in the mix? You have an extra wild card. Look what the Houston Astros are doing.
Unbelievable.
I mean, just 2-3 years ago, they were looked at as one of the worst teams in the history of baseball for a single season. They had a game on TV that didn't draw a rating point, you know, in Houston.
Wow.
It didn't register a number on the meter. And look at them now. Pretty good ball club. They ripped off 10 in a row this season.
No question. They're the surprise of Major League Baseball, certainly of the American League West. I mean, who would have thought? You know, everybody's picking Seattle. And it still may, what goes around may come around. You know, I mean, Houston may still fall off the map, and Seattle may still make a run, or the Angels. You know, there's some money invested in those two organizations, rumor has it. You know, I still think Seattle's probably going to win that division. I mean, it's way too early to jump to any conclusions, but, you know, Houston's playing well, and you just never know, I guess. And you're right. I think that if the Kansas City Royals can win it, the American League, on a limited budget, why not the Twins? Or the Indians, or the Houston Astros.
I think you have to think that way. I mean, it's a bit pie in the sky, given where the Twins have been the last 4 years. It's well documented, 90 or more losses, 4 straight seasons. We know that. But, you know, we've seen some tweaking to this team. They do have a different manager in Paul Molitor, and he's different than Gardy.
Yep.
And, you know, he's early on in his regime, but, you know, from what I hear, he's the kind of guy who he is very low-key. You know, very even keel, doesn't get too high, too low, but if need be, something happens, he'll go up to a player in the clubhouse and sit and talk to them, you know, man to man. I don't think he's going to, you know, undress them and, you know, throw verbal darts at him. I think he's just going to do it in a professional way. And so far, I think the players have responded to that. Certainly the acquisition of Torii Hunter is paying off. I mean, we're starting to see some power from Torii, and he's such a leader in the room, and he's just so well liked by the fans that it's just too bad that didn't happen a few years ago, but it's good we got him back now.
Yeah, no question. Does this make you, where they're at now, does it make you more upset or less upset about Santana and the PED?
Well, I think you should be more upset.
I agree.
He's let the team down. He's let the fandom down. Anybody connected with the Twins, this has been a letdown. But, hey, look, you can't look in the rearview mirror here. This is what it's going to be. The 80-game suspension, you'll see him in July. You know, when, we don't know. He's probably going to have a session or two at the minor league level. But when he comes back, if he can be the pitcher they thought they signed, who can eat up innings and get you some wins, and if they're hanging around on the cusp of a wild card spot, then it can still have a positive ending. And that's the only way you can look at it. And it's allowed some other guys to step up. Hey, look, Mike Pelfrey, we remember, if you go back to spring training down in Florida, when they said, Mike Pelfrey, you're going to the bullpen, and he squawked. He didn't like it. He says, I should be a starter. I've earned the right to be in the five-man rotation. Well, he got that starting position back in the rotation when Santana got the PED suspension, and Pelfrey's had some good games.
Yeah.
He's pitched pretty well. I think he's delivered.
So, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some hiccups, but...
Like hitting three batters last Sunday.
Well, that's the White Sox, though. It didn't matter, because you knew they were going to toss the ball around the field like a bunch of bad news bears.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, my kid Preston's baseball team plays better defense than the White Sox, and he's 6.
Yeah, they look terrible.
I couldn't believe how bad the White Sox look. That's the kind of stuff where a manager loses his job over that. I don't know if Robin Ventura's in trouble. I've not heard anything like that. But, boy, if that keeps up, something's going to happen in Chicago.
Yeah, I am surprised that we didn't see Hawk Harrelson hang himself in that broadcast booth after that weekend.
You know, last week was not good if you like the Chicago White Sox. You have a game where no fans are allowed into the ballpark in Baltimore. And then you come to Minnesota and you literally unravel.
Yeah, they were terrible. That's about as bad. That's as bad a White Sox performance in Minnesota that I've seen in a long time, particularly the way it ended.
Can you imagine if Ozzy was still the manager and that happened on his watch? I mean, Ozzy would have gone volcanic.
He might have said something nasty about Fidel Castro. Today.
Yeah, he probably would have said something outrageous, and it would have been good theater, though.
Trevor Plouffe has basically solidified himself as the cleanup hitter on this club. And he's, for the most part, you know, he has, he's picked it up. He's, you know, early on he struggled, but he has picked it up. How far into the rearview mirror do you look, or does he look and see Miguel Sano and think,
you know, what's going to happen long term? Sano, obviously, you know, from the organization standpoint, that's their third baseman of the future. But, you know, Plouffe's not that old, is he? What is he, about 28, 29 maybe?
No, he's a young guy. I think he's in his prime, really. I mean, to be blunt. And, look, you've got to earn a job. I know that eventually Miguel Sano is going to be up here. Everybody wants to see him. They've hyped him up. They've invested in him. We get that. But you don't just give him the job. He's got to earn it. He's got to take it away from Trevor Plouffe. And I think Trevor Plouffe's been, obviously with the bat, he's their top power guy. When he turns on a pitch, he really cranks it. I mean, that grand slam he hit Sunday against Chicago, he turned on it and boom. You kind of knew the minute he hit it that thing was going to go. His defense, it's a work in progress, but I believe it's getting better. You know, he had the ball against Detroit last week that he lost in the sun where he missed a pop-up on the mound. Now, that was costly. But overall, Trevor Plouffe to me is a positive on this team.
I agree.
And even if Sano's ready to come up, you'd rather have too many good positives than bad negatives. You can figure it out. It gives you more depth.
And then, of course, when you talk about Plouffe and Sano, then that brings Buxton is the other one. You know, how soon do you bring him up? You know, you've been hearing people talk about him for the last year and a half now, and particularly this year, you know, with Hicks being the major league roster and the Twins going with Shane Robinson and Jordan Schaefer. And Schaefer actually has played pretty well as of late. But, you know, how soon do you push the button and bring Buxton up? I think he wasn't he minor league player of the week or something last week? I think he was. He had a big week 1 week ago. So, you know, that's, you're going to start hearing that too. That's next.
Well, I think Byron Buxton, if I were just to, you know, wager a guess, he may beat Miguel Sano up to the big club, to the majors.
Mm-hmm.
It just
right.
Seems like...
Well, there's a bigger hole.
Exactly. There's more of a need in center field.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, Jordan Schaefer, he's... You know, he's definitely defensively solid enough out there. Shane Robinson's not too bad defensively.
Shane Robinson has a huge arm.
Right.
He made a throw the other night. I can't remember what night it was. Man, he has got a cannon for an arm out there.
Well, those guys do a pretty good job patrolling center field. I think the thing is offensively. You know, what are you going to get out of him, and do you think you're going to get more out of Byron Buxton? And you know Byron Buxton is your guy moving forward. At some point, you want to get him the seasoning so he can, you know, figure out what the majors is all about and hopefully, you know, become a guy who's going to thrive at the MLB level, become their Andrew McCutchen, or, you know, pick your comparison you want to make.
Well, you know, they brought Bernier up again this week because Nunez went on the DL. Now, you know, that being said, and Nunez was not doing poorly. I think he was hitting over 400. I mean, he's only batted 20, 25 times, whatever it is. But I think that if they could move Escobar into the utility infield position, then Robinson and Schaefer could share left field, outfield utility duties, and Buxton could be in center field. I mean, I think that somewhere down the line, maybe late this season, might be something you might see if Nunez does, if his injury persists, or if they decide that, you know, he's not the answer, or whatever the case may be. That might be a shift. Because I know they like Escobar's bat. I mean, they really like him. He did a lot of good things in spring training, and heck, he was pretty good. He was their shortstop last year. He had a pretty good year, all things considered.
Yeah, well, and I think what makes it interesting right now is the ball club is competitive. And, you know, they just had a 5-game winning streak on this homestand. And, you know, they're in the mix. I'm not saying they're going to make a playoff run, but at this point in time, they are in the mix, and who knows? That extra wild card makes things very interesting in you know, all the divisions. Even the Twins division, which is top-heavy right now, with the Royals and the Tigers being the two creme de la creme ball clubs. But you have that extra wild card spot to gun for. Look at the AL West. You brought up, you know, Seattle's been an underachiever. So have the Angels. The A's have not done what they're capable of doing. You know, Houston, will they come back to the pack? You would think they would. You look at the East. The Yankees are doing pretty well. Boston's not too bad. But, I mean, there's not like a bunch of teams running away from where the Twins are. So I think that's what makes this interesting. If you bring a guy like Buxton up, can he help you win more games? As
yeah.
opposed to you're out of it and you're just bringing him up for seasoning and trying to get a ticket bounce.
A la the Timberwolves.
Right. And they'll get a ticket bounce from Buxton. There's no doubt. And that'll be fun. But hopefully it's in addition to pursuing a playoff spot.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a break. Reminder, a little bit later on in the show, coming up, we'll hear from our fishing expert, Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss. Coming up a little bit later on. That and more as we continue here on Minnesota Score Radio, your Twin City.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Joined now by twin second baseman Brian Dozier. Brian, your locker pretty crowded. The crowd around it after Wednesday night's game, Eddie Rosario, the rookie comes through. First swing, he hits a home run in major leagues. That's, you can't make that stuff up, can you?
No, you know, I know, speaking for myself and a lot of other guys, you dream about that moment, you know, since you're a little kid, you know, what you're going to do your first at bat, let alone first pitch. And he's got his family up here. This is a dream come true, first of all, for him just being up here, but to do it like he did, that's You'll never forget that kind of stuff. That's pretty special. Go in the history books, too. That's pretty cool.
You saw him all spring training. Tell us a little bit about this kid, what he brings to the table, what kind of player he is.
Well, yeah, he's a tremendous athlete. He's got some of the quickest hands I've seen in a long time. Reminds me of Danny Santana when he first came up. But he can handle the bat. Hit the ball at the ballpark and really drive the ball. I know he's, getting back used to outfield and stuff, but he holds his own and he's got a strong arm. And, he's a good replacement for, you know, Arcia getting going on the DL and then him coming up. And, but like I said, he's a young kid and he's got a lot of talent. And, I'm glad he's up here and I know he's going to help us out. So,
and it's all about opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, he's got an opportunity. Our lineup's pretty deep and, he's a big bat in order, and it's always good though when you have some injuries, you have some young guys step in and do what he does, and he's going to be just fine. He didn't seem overwhelmed by anything, but like I said, tremendous athlete and exceptional hitter. So
you have an 11 game homestand. You had a rough start this season, the 1-6 start, but an 11 game homestand, you guys play pretty well. It's got to feel good to be able to play well in your home park.
Yeah, it's something that we've struggled with the past few years, and be honest with you, we haven't even really thought about the, rough first week after the first week. And we've kind of put that behind us. And we're playing good baseball, probably the best in the league right now, in my opinion. And everything's kind of clicking for us. And we're doing all things right. And when you do that, when you throw the ball over the plate and you play good defense behind our pitching staff and you get timely hitting and you put all those things together, then you see the wind start to stack up a little bit. And that's what's going on right now.
What's number 48 meant so far? I mean, we heard all this stuff, and everybody who's been around Torrey Hunter knows what he brought to this team for the 10, 12 years he was here previously. But what has he meant so far in this first month or so of the season?
Well, heck, he's a fan favorite. They love him here. He's done a lot of good things in his 10 or 12 years that he was with in Minnesota. So they love him here. It's always good to see their reactions to he can catch a routine fly ball and they go crazy. So you know that he's done some good stuff in his past here. But no, he's a phenomenal guy. He's one of the leaders on our ball club, and all that stuff is what it is, but the guy's still got a lot of bullets left. He's a big bat in the middle of our order. I know he's about to be 40 in a couple of weeks, and he's still doing it. Looks just like he does when he was 20 years old and got called up. So he's been doing it for a long time, a true professional, one of my favorite teammates. So it's I'm just glad he's on our team.
And your locker almost right next to him.
They put us beside each other, whatever. But me and Torrey are close, and we get each other on and off the field. We got a lot of the same values and stuff, and but it's cool just to sit down and pick his brain about a lot of stuff that he's been through on and off the field, just to kind of anytime you got someone like that's been around the game for so long and can better your career in any way, I'll take it.
All right, one last question for you. You guys have played well at home. What do you need to do to take this stuff down the road? I mean, it's easier said than done, and I know it's one day at a time and one game, and every game is different, but is there an overall thing that you think, you know what, we've got to take what we're doing here at home on the road with us?
Yeah, we obviously were on a little streak here, and you try to, good teams ride that because you don't know when it's going to come to an end, and that kind of thing, and you got to ride it out. You got to get greedy and keep pushing forward, and you know, you're going to have your ups and downs. I know it's still early in the season or whatever, but just the chemistry, everything is, I've never experienced this, the way things are going up here in the big leagues in my 4 years. So it's something pretty special. We're going to keep grinding it out. At bats, our pitching staff has been phenomenal, and we've been playing good defense, which that was a lack thereof, you know, at the beginning of the season. But like I said, we're clicking on all cylinders right now, and tell you what, everything just seems to be going right.
Ryan, appreciate your time. And good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Brian Dozier here on Minnesota Score Radio.
The The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket, and it is time now to shift the focus. It is opening weekend fishing across the great state of Minnesota, and as we have for the past few years, we are joined now by Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss up on Leech Lake. And Al, I guess let's start with the way things have gone weather-wise, because ice out was much earlier this year, and with that, how does that affect the fishing?
Well, Lonnie, that's true. Ice went out a long time ago. It'll make probably a pretty fair opener because the water temperature is up now into the mid-50s, and we also have had that sunlight penetrating, so the weed beds, of course, have started to photosynthesize. So I think lots of things are going to change. But the one thing we want to remind the people of is that because northern Minnesota, as well as many other areas, have really been in a severe drought, Leech Lake is down about 2 feet.
Wow.
So when you're out there, you're going to have to use caution. Places like the Roosevelt Canal and around the Rock Reefs by Pelican, watch your landings. You'll be able to get off with no trouble, but be sure you trim out or up before you go on out. Once you're out, you're going to be fine. But we are extremely shallow. So fish are going to change a little bit, Wally. They're going to be along the shorelines. The shiner bite should be really good because the lake shiners are up in there. It'll be a jig and a minnow bite, like it always is on Leech Lake. And colors I don't think are going to make that much difference. But using a stand-up jig, go as light as you possibly can. Shiner will probably be the minnow of choice right now, and they do have lots of shiners. And I would use rainbows as a secondary. And go in the Kelly Green, parrot colors, watermelon colors, and you'll do very well. I don't think there's going to be any trouble catching walleyes of the keepable size.
Let's talk panfish a little bit. You and I talked about a week ago, and you said the panfish were going like crazy for the past few weeks. How does that look?
That's the same way. The panfish are definitely right now in the shallows. Look to your north end, the mud bays. They're up anywhere from probably 2 feet of water to probably 6 to 8. In the afternoon, they're going to probably be out there 10, 12 to get spooked. But there's been a lot of big crappies, a lot of sunfish being caught. And like I said, go to the back bays. That's where you're going to seem to find them. And use as tiny a thing as you can. The jigs, the minnow and the bobber, step bobber will work too. But plastics have really been working well for the people. And there's been a lot of 15-inch crappies and a lot of that 11-inch bluegills being caught. I mean, that's trophy everywhere. So if you get a chance and you get into them, catch some of those big fish. Don't take many because the genetics we need in the lake. But keep those that are 9 in the sunfish routine and probably in the 11 to 13 in the crappies, and you're going to have a tremendous meal.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more opening weekend fishing with Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss. Stay with us.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
Welcome back, Al Moss, and our Leech Lake fishing report continues. All right, Al, this time of year, what time of day do you recommend? What's the best time of day to be fishing opening weekend?
Well, the thing about Leech Lake is it's wind-driven, so it really isn't so much about time. Personally, I like the early morning myself and the later in the afternoon and the evening, but we catch fish all day long, and that means 24 hours a day. But go to where the wind is slapping in. The points are going to be extremely good. I would forget the middle of the lake, the big rock reefs and stuff out there. Look to the points like the Ottertail Point, Pine Point, the hardwoods on this end of it, down in the Pelican area, what we call the trees, 5 mile battle point, and then up the area by Federal Dam is going to be extremely good too. But play where the wind is, and you're going to do the best by far, Wally, at that time. Now, as we progress into the summer, then definitely it's going to be later evening, early morning. We did just a tremendous bite last year on the shad wraps. And remember now, you might see a lot more crowded condition because the Mille Lacs condition with the one fish, Red Lake with the two fish condition, a lot more people seem to be targeting here.
All right. Good stuff, Al, as usual. We'll look forward to a whole summer of great reports from Leech Lake, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Wally. Thanks again.
All right. That's Al Moss, the Hall of Fame fisherman up on Leech Lake with our weekly Leech Lake Fishing Report. More here on Minnesota Score Radio after this timeout.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, and we are joined now by Clarence Fields from the CRF Sports Academy, and we're going to talk draft here and off-season workouts and what's going on with these newbies that the Vikings have reined in here. Last week, of course, was the NFL draft. Trey Waynes, the Vikings' first pick, number 11 overall. And they went defense those first three rounds, Clarence, so it seems like Mike Zimmer is certainly putting his stamp on this team.
For sure, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach. That's been his background. And, you know, if you're a defensive-minded head coach in the NFL or at any other level, you know, you want to stick to what you're really, really great at and go defense.
And that's exactly what he did with Waynes in the first round. And, of course, they went linebacker in the second round, going with Eric Hendricks, and then coming up with Danielle Hunter, the defensive end, in the third round. So shoring up that defense, getting behind what Mike Zimmer does, you know, these are things. And then the other piece to that, of course, is that, as far as anybody knows, Adrian Peterson will be wearing Viking purple this year.
Well, I think for $14, $15 million, I think it's a pretty much it's a done deal. I know I'd be playing for $14 to $15 million if I had the option.
Yeah, well, especially at the age of 30, there aren't many running backs that are going to get contracts like that at that age. Now, he is unique. And let me ask you this, and you know, you deal with guys who are training on a year-round basis. Adrian Peterson has been out of the mix for a full year now. He basically played one game, and then he has been out. I know he's a special athlete, but what kind of training and how difficult is it going to be for him to get back into the groove again?
Well, you know, Adrian Peterson won't have an issue, you know, coming back, you know, full head of steam after taking a year off for a couple of reasons. You know, the first reason I think is pretty obvious. I mean, he's just a physical specimen that's, you know, like no other, you know, on the planet. And number two, I think an athlete at that level, from a mental standpoint, they never remove themselves from the thought of competition.
Oh, great point. All right. What about these guys now, off-season training? What do they do? What kinds of things do you recommend to football players? I know you deal with high school players and some college players as well. What types of things are they doing in the off-season so they stay sharp?
Well, for the rookies, I mean, I think it's all about, you know, just adjusting to, you know, being a professional. You know, and that goes from a nutrition standpoint, you know, taking care of your body. And of course, you know, your workout regimen in terms of what you're doing off the field, you know, in the weight room, and on the field in terms of, you know, enhancing your skill level. I think it's very important, you know, that, all these professional organizations, and I'm sure, you know, the NFL has, you know, some type of, you know, continuing education, you know, system in place, you know, for these guys that are making the transition, because it can be tough, you know, when your bank account goes from, you know, $3 or $4 to a couple of million bucks. I mean, there's a lot of a lot of different variables, you know, that are involved to making the right, when it comes to making the right decision.
Well, great. Good stuff. And I know that you've got training. Give me a quick 411 on CRF Sports Academy for this summer. What you got coming up?
Summer's going to be really, really heavy with basketball, of course. You know, that's our main stake. We'll have camps going on 9 weeks, you know, out of the 12 weeks of the summer over at our facility in Hopkins. And then we'll also have some stuff going on in Golden Valley for 4 weeks as well, and all of it's on the website, and parents can, you know, surf that, and if they have any questions, they can feel free to give us a ring.
All right, very good. It's Clarence Field, CRF Sports Academy. You can find them online at crfsportsacademy.com, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, Clarence.
Thank you.
Clarence Field from CRF Sports Academy. More here on Minnesota Score Radio right after this timeout.
Seen the man many times before. He can scare a shadow off the dark.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And we are back to wrap it up. Final segment, Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket. Wally and Eric with you, and the NFL draft. I know you're thankful is in the rearview mirror.
What's next on the, is it, it must be mini camps next, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got mini camps, OTAs, training camp not that far away in July. It's all coming up, and your Minnesota Vikings, especially early in the draft, a definite defensive slant. I mean, we talked last week about the top pick, Trey Waynes, the cornerback out of Michigan State, press corner, as they say. And then they go for Eric Kendricks, the linebacker out of UCLA, teammate of Anthony Barr. He won the Butkus Award as the nation's outstanding linebacker. And Daniel Hunter, a big defensive end out of LSU. That was 1, 2, and 3 out of the gate. So I have a feeling... Head coach Mike Zimmer, former defensive coordinator with the Cincinnati Bengals, has a voice in the room.
Yeah, that would be my guess. And I also have a feeling, based on what I've seen thus far as their transactions and their draft, that number 28 is not going to have much choice. He's either going to play in Minnesota and get paid to play here, or he's going to have to sit it out. I mean, there's just there are no choices.
Yeah, even the agent, Ben Dagra, or whoever he is, he's changed his stance now. His tone is, okay, we're glad that you love Adrian. Now let's tweak the contract here to make him really feel loved. And, you know what? Barring something unusual, I think he is going to be here. Will he show up for these mini camps and OTAs?
No.
Probably not. But when the bell rings in July in Mankato, you know, he better be there because he's got to shake off some rust. I don't care how good you are. He hasn't played in a while. And I take it as a positive. I mean, look, the Vikings, I'm sure, entertained offers. I'm sure people, teams, dangled draft picks or, you know, players in front of them. And Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer said, no, not good enough. We're not going to give him away. And I give the Vikings a lot of credit for that. They could have caved in, but they did not. I think they've handled it very well. Maybe not early on, you know, in the beginning when it all happened and they sat him down. And then they tried to bring him back, and then they all of a sudden he disappears. I didn't like the way they handled that part of it. It was very
ugly, hypocritical.
But since then, I think the organization's done a good job, and Adrian Peterson is still a big part of their football team. And once they get through training camp, that first preseason game, that first regular season game, I think you're going to see Adrian Peterson come out and just run like a monster. I just think he's going to be obsessed with proving people he's still got a lot of game left.
Well, let's put it this way. Once they get through the fifth preseason game, because he probably won't play the first four.
Well, you're right about that.
if I'm not mistaken, that was the template this past season. Didn't play until the last or the second.
So
last
Jarek McKinnon will get a lot of carries, as will Matt Asiata.
Matt Asiata. Both under contract, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of like those two. Two completely different styles.
Asiata's a touchdown guy.
Yeah, he is.
Get him in that red zone, and he can find the end zone.
He's a fantasy football owner's delight.
Number 44.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world that Adrian Peterson would be back in the Vikings' backfield. And I'm telling you, I can tell you right now that Teddy Bridgewater wants him back.
Oh, no question. Yeah, if that's the consolation prize in all of this, then, you know, it's in a little, in, so we talked about Irvin Santana earlier in the show with the Twins. You know, you don't like the circumstances with which Irvin Santana disappeared for 80 games.
Exactly.
That's Irvin's bad. This is AP's bad. He made the mistake with the young kid in Texas, his son. But now you get him back. It's almost like you've just acquired this running back who's got an MVP on his resume and all these Pro Bowls. Now he's back. He's on your team. And I think you're right. Teddy Bridgewater has to be ecstatic. And how much better does that make Mike Wallace, who the other day said, I'm the fastest guy in the NFL. Well, he can blow the top off of defense. We know that. I hope he can run his routes crisply, and I hope he can catch a football.
I was going to say, let's hope he can catch the football, Troy Williams.
Because speed is great, but if you can't catch it, I don't care how fast you are. But really, in reality, AP back there, you know, you put a Mike Wallace out wide on one side. Hopefully Kyle Rudolph is healthy. They certainly need him back.
Yes.
And then you have the young kid Charles Robinson, who was very good as a D2 player, and some of the other guys. It causes matchup situations where if you try to double up or, you know, take away a Mike Wallace or somebody, well, then all of a sudden Adrian Peterson's going to get the carry, and there's less guys involved in being able to bring him down.
Well, and I think that Bridgewater is going to be that much better with Adrian Peterson back there. You saw the progression of Teddy Bridgewater throughout the season. It's going to take another big leap with Adrian Peterson as a weapon back there, because they have to respect that. And they have to respect, you know, if they do some play action. And that should give him some more time to make, you know, to do more check downs and to find the open receiver, which he did a good job of as a rookie. He did a pretty good job of that last year, particularly the second half of the season. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that keeping Adrian Peterson is a positive. As long as Ziggy's willing to pay him, AP better show up. That's all I can say.
I just can't imagine that he wouldn't. I mean, you're going to leave all that money on the table.
I think you'd be crazy.
And sit out. I think it could be career suicide, because at his age, there's going to come a point when, even if you're Adrian Peterson, you've got to, you know, that clock's ticking.
Yeah.
30, 31. As a running back, you're not going to get the big payday. I think if I had his ear, if I was his agent or marketing guy or just a friend, I'd say, look, you need to look at it this way. You're at an age where most running backs don't get this kind of money anymore in the NFL.
Exactly.
You need to be grateful for it. And, yeah, you're freakish. We know you're great. Go out and continue to prove it, and the money will still be there. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, you know, you and I think talked in the past about, would a guy like Melvin Gordon interest the Vikings? San Diego traded up to get him in the draft, and Todd Gurley went to the St. Louis Rams. So, obviously no running backs coming to Minnesota. So AP's the guy. And don't forget, Jerick McKinnon's in his second year. Asiata's a young guy. They're actually pretty deep at the position. I expect this to have a better ending than maybe a lot of people think.
All right, quickly, potpourri of items here. I saw some pictures of the new St. Paul Saints Stadium, CHS Field. Looks pretty nice.
Yeah, wow, I'm excited to go over to St. Paul. Another reason to go, in addition to Wild games. And
now, I think I might take the train to that. You got to figure out where you're going to pick it up, because the train takes you within about a block of the stadium, the light rail does. So, and I'm guessing that parking is going to be a nightmare down there. I don't know where you're going to park in downtown St. Paul.
Yeah, probably a good call. Get on the train and just, you know, that's, I guess, think of it this way. I mean, if the Saints had a day game and the Twins had a night game, you could watch the Saints, get on the train, and go watch the Twins play at night. Drive in your car.
Yeah, well, as long as you had a lot of time to kill. It takes about an hour to go from end to end on that train. your Minnesota Lynx fire up here soon? You fired up about the Lynx?
Yeah. I'll be ready to go when they're ready to go. And
okay.
I expect nothing less than another appearance in the finals, WNBA finals. And I see where Maya Moore, I think, the other day was a little bit unhappy that the Lynx aren't more on the radar. You know, I guess I can sense her frustration, because I've said this before. I think of all the athletes in Minnesota, at least professional athletes, she's the top of the list as far as individual achievements and team achievements.
Now,
I just don't know how you can dispute that. She's won championships at every level, college, WNBA, you know, over in China, the Olympics, high school, and we know how good she is on the floor. So maybe there's something to what she's saying. Maybe we got to talk more about the Lynx. I'm going to have to make you talk more about the Lynx.
Well, I brought it up.
Thank you.
You weren't even going to talk Lynx.
No, you're
to
right.
Me.
You're good. You're good there. We'll go out to some Lynx games, too.
Yeah, we'll
Let's just try to pick a night when it's not very good weather-wise.
Yeah, I hate being in there when it's nice out. It's
that's a tough deal. You don't get the number of nice nights that we should. To spend one inside, kind of, it's no good.
Well, and I saw the billboard the other day on one of the Twin Cities freeways promoting the Vikings season. Last year of outdoor football.
Ugh. Dumbbells.
As if you're bragging about that.
What a bunch of dummies. You should be outdoor football year round.
Yeah.
Or at least a retractable. You could close it up in December. All right. That's all the time we have. Reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online, just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score.
All right, fair enough. Let's FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Rocky, who has been all over the place this week. We really haven't seen him. We've only
He's probably fishing opener. He's probably up north fishing someplace. Al Moss telling him where to go on Leech Lake.
Yeah, knowing Rocky, probably is. He's probably got a deal cut at one of those resorts, and the weather should be good.
He was not around.
Have fun, Rocky. Thanks also to Al Moss and all the other guests who made the show possible. For Wally Langfellow, I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your St. Paul Saints ticket.